proceeding with the meeting. We are now taking the second part of the presentation. Here is the feedback by the government employee medical scheme on the progress made since its meeting with the portfolio committee in 2010. And I must indicate that we have been interacting even in the strategic planning session. We did get an update. But of course, it is important to interact thoroughly, you know, because this is the employee's medical aid scheme. Medical scheme or medical aid. I don't want to say aid because there's no aid here. So, can I then request them to take the podium, introduce themselves, and then you will tell us how long can the presentation take. But from the side of members, you will realize that the intention of today was to just get all areas where employees vested interest lies, you know, in terms of their savings, in terms of their health as well. And we're looking forward to just interacting and getting much more informed in terms of how far are you now. Secretary to the committee, Tibelo, was asking me if people who are at the would like to join. It's fine that they can come to join us here. But if they're comfortable, it's still fine, okay? And now what we're going to do, we'll proceed with the presentation. Over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson. And thanks to the members of the Portfolio Committee on Public Service and Administration for giving us this opportunity to update you on the progress that we are making and the challenges that we are facing in terms of our mandate. The presentation we're going to give you the structure of the presentation will be a brief appraisal of the scheme's background, which I will do, and then the principal officer will then give an overview of the performance of the scheme in 2011, an overview of the 2012 strategic plan, and an update on the scheme's performance in 2012. But before I do that, I'll take the opportunity to introduce the team. We've got present here two members of the board. I'm the chairperson of the board of trustees. My name is Colbert Ricotto. We've got the DG, who is the member of the board, Mr. Majdi Popa. We've got our principal officer, Dr. Eugene Watson, with members of ESCO right on top there. We've got Karina sitting this way. She's the executive for finance. We've got Lizzie Ware for marketing. Stan, responsible for healthcare. We've got Jenny, who's corporate affairs. And we've got responsible for contracts and administration, Bella. The funding policy of the scheme came about with Cabinet taking a resolution in 2004. Cabinet decided because of the high cost of medical cover then, that it was prudent, probably, to establish a medical aid scheme for the state. The overarching mandate issued by Cabinet then in 2004 was that the state, as an employer, seeks to ensure that there is adequate provisioning of healthcare coverage to public service employees that is efficient, cost-effective, equitable, and to provide further options for those who wish to purchase more extensive cover. The mandate was informed by the entrenched inequity, high cost, absent employer control or influence, and limited access to scheme benefits by all employees. The legal form and the structure of GEMS is that the Public Service Coordinating Bargaining Council Resolution 7 of 2000 provided for the restructuring of the medical assistance in the public service. The feasibility of establishing a scheme was tested in 2004, and following cabinet approval, the scheme was registered in 2005 and commenced enrolling members in 2006. A new medical subsidy policy was introduced in July 2006 after agreement was reached in the PSCDC. GEMS was established as a restricted membership medical scheme, fully registered under the Medical Schemes Act, reports to the Register of Medical Schemes, and subscribes to the Medical Schemes Act of 131 of 1998. The corporate and governance structure of GEMS, it consists of a board of trustees, 12 members of the board of trustees. 50% of the members of the board of trustees are directly elected by members through a transparent election process. 50% are appointed by the Minister for Public Safety and Administration. And of these 50% that are appointed the minister, there's certain skills that are specified in the rules of the scheme that the minister must consider when appointing those members. They must have a medical background, they must have a legal background, they must have a financial background. Presently in the current board, we've got a pharmacist, we've got a medical doctor, we've got an advocate, and we've got a finance person. We also have an independent head of an audit committee who's a chartered accountant. We've got an efficient head of 45 team members who are responsible for the strategic and risk management of the scheme. Most of our administrative functions are outsourced to a number of companies, but the locus of control always rests within the scheme. I will now ask our principal officer to give the committee an overview of the performance of the scheme. Thanks.
Chairperson, thanks, members of the committee. The format from this point of the presentation follows the presentation which we made to this forum in 2010. The first leg deals with our performance in 2011. I think it's worth pointing out our financial year ends in December of each year, so it follows a calendar year. So hence some of the statistics speak to a single year and not a period running over two calendar years. If we look at 2011, the scheme closed the year with 595,000 principal members, those would be main members, and 1.6 million beneficiaries. That's when you include the relatives and family members who are also covered under the membership. The average family size was 2.79. The average age of principal members was 43.6. The average age of beneficiaries was 28.8 years. And the number of beneficiaries over the age of 65 was 49,206. This is a very important number to measure because the risk of the scheme is related to the clinical profile, which is largely determined by age. 2.9% of all beneficiaries are over the age of 65. This is considerably lower than the average experience in the medical scheme industry, where if you look at the column on the right-hand side, the average number of beneficiaries over 65 in the industry as a whole is 5.1%. We appreciate that this is a transient factor because GEMS is still a new scheme and mainly active employees are registered. We know that with time that number will change to align itself to something similar to what the industry average is. 65% of our principal members are female. This is in keeping with the demographic of the public service. As you know, education and health are the largest sectors in the public service and is primarily run by female employees. 47.2% of all beneficiaries, now when you include the families, are female. And very importantly, 23% of our members earn less than 7,000 Rand a month. That 7,000 Rand is a proxy for the number of employees on salary level 1 to 5. If we look at our financials, having closed our audit, these are the figures. I won't run through all of the statements, but just the ones highlighted in red. In 2011, the scheme collected 17 billion Rand in contributions and paid 15.5 billion Rand in claims on behalf of members and their families. We made a surplus of 549 million Rand for the year, which is an improvement over the deficit, our maiden deficit in 2010. If one looks at our balance sheet, you will see that we held cash of 2.4 billion Rand. We are a different entity in nature to that of the pension fund, where the pension fund holds money for a long period. We hold money essentially on a transactional basis. People pay and they claim almost in the same month. So money moves quite quickly, hence our liquidity always has to be optimized. our accumulated funds, or what you typically refer to as the reserve, exceeded 1.4 billion rand, which increased very nicely from 943 million rand in 2010. It's worthwhile pointing out that when the scheme was registered in 2000, when we started to trade in 2006, our accumulated funds were smaller than 30 million rand. If we then look at cash flows, I think the important point would be we had net cash inflows of 465 million rand in the year of 2011, and we held cash of over 2.4 billion rand at the end of the period. If we then look at the strategic progress, this is informed by the last session we had in this forum. We're trying to map out a more holistic view of what the scheme achieved. We have shared our strategic plan with the committee, and there is a detailed listing of what some of the successes were. But for the purposes of this meeting, it's worthwhile pointing out that we received over 320,000 calls, 33,000 emails, and 55,000 walk-ins per month throughout the year 2011 at our various facilities. 28,000 GEMS babies were born in the year under review, and we continue to grow rapidly, as the scheme has done since inception. We've received over 100,000 applications in 2011. In line with the decision or the outcomes of our last meeting, we implemented a translation plan. We've translated all official scheme material into the official languages. All static information is translated almost on an automatic basis. The last level of our translation plan now is for members to determine what language they want their material in. And then the live information, we then also issue in their language of choice. For members of the committee who know a GEMS member, you know that there are SMSs which are generated every time a member claims. There are claim statements sent every 2 weeks. So what we're trying to do is get to a point where even that live information can go out in the relevant language at the member's choice. To date, almost 250,000 members have indicated on our website which language they would prefer. And more than 80% still prefer official correspondence in English. But all material is available, including our annual report, in the official languages. We had also spoken at the last meeting that, you know, the medical scheme industry is filled with lots of technical jargon. It's either financial, or it's medical, or it's scheme specific. So we have implemented measures to use plain language as much as we can in all of the correspondence. There is a concern, though, some of the information is official, so there are some points where you just can't make it as simple as what you would put in an SMS to a colleague. This is, however, something we continue to work on. We also agreed at the last meeting that whilst GEMS had grown substantially and its services had become more sophisticated, the problem was some of the more modern services were not being used by members. So you had email services, secure web portal services, yet members still wanted to go face-to-face to the walk-in center. One of the committee members had said, please make sure that your technology, although you have the ability to implement technologically advanced activities, don't run ahead of the members. So we did slow it down a bit, and the main technological advance in the last period since we were here is that we now issue statements via WAP. So it's like an MMS that a member gets. This saves a tremendous amount of paper. If we send claim statements every 2 weeks and there's 600,000 members on the scheme, it's a lot of pieces of paper we generate. Our annual report is about 70 pages in length. Each member gets one. So you're looking at 35 million pieces of paper which go out annually to members. So using the technology, I think, at that level has a dual purpose. It saves money and it's also environmentally friendly. Very importantly, as the chair mentioned in our mandate, is to ensure that we promote equitable access and that the benefits are affordable. So the level 1 to 5 employees are a very useful benchmark for your affordability. And what we've seen is that we now have more than 200 of the 420 or so thousand level 1 to 5 employees registered on GEMS. In fact, GEMS covers more than half of them in total, and we see this continue to grow. It is a moving number. I think over time the committee members will see that we may come back in a year and say QL is still 200,000. It's not because we've done nothing. It's because the level 1 to 5 are often promoted, or they get salary incremental increase. They fall outside of the band of level 1 to 5s, and you have a new pool coming. So we at least are trying to keep that number where it is. Very importantly, more than 51% of all our members didn't use the medical subsidy beforehand. This implies and this suggests that these are employees who were not benefiting from the subsidy historically, which is what the mandate is informed by. Historically, you had black and female public service employees who couldn't afford the personal contribution, hence they forfeited a benefit. That more than half of our members are from that subset is already talk of how we are moving toward fulfilling the mandate. Over 55% of eligible employees as principal members are covered on GEMS. If you include the family members where husbands and wives are also put on, it rises up to 58%. On an annual basis, we undertake an independent annual member satisfaction survey. The survey was conducted in November of last year, at the end of last year. 84% of members were reported as being satisfied with GEMS. 88% of members trusted that GEMS would be there for them in their time of need. And it's very important for us because you want the employees to see GEMS as more than just a medical aid. It's an employee benefit, but it's also one that impacts upon their health and wellness and then ultimately on the productivity of the state. So it is very good for us to know that they trust in the medical scheme. We know that with these surveys, one number at one point in time doesn't really mean much. It's what the trend is over time to ensure that this number keeps changing. That would be the goal. We were ranked first amongst medical schemes in the 2011 Ask Africa Orange Index. This is an industry-wide service excellence survey which is done publicly. It uses 92 companies, the likes of the cell phone companies, the banks and so forth participate. The scheme didn't really participate, but because of our large membership base, we became part of the result. And it's very pleasing to see that we've won amongst the medical schemes. If we then just look at the second leg of progress and successes in 2011, we ensured continuity at the level of the board in 2011. This is very important. Our trustees serve terms of 3 years. Some of them, all trustees may be appointed or elected for a second term, if that be the case. During the 2011 financial year, 7 trustee seats came up for reappointment or election. And despite the changes, which is more than half the board, continuity by way of decision-making, control and assurance was maintained throughout the course of the year. We received unqualified orders for 2010 and 2011. Those would be the 2 years since we last were here. All our internal and external orders conducted through the year were positive, rated satisfactory and good. We perform an independent service level audit because we have many operational service providers to ensure that the manner in which service levels are reported is exact and accurate so that we as the managers of the scheme are also seen to be implementing decisions and interventions based on actual service level performance. Over 90% of service levels were met. Our supply chain management policy, the policy with which we procure, was amended during 2011 to encourage BEE. The scheme assesses tenders on the basis of certain criteria, which equate to a score out of 100, price, BEE, technical ability, the understanding and methodology, capacity and experience. The board increased the weighting for BEE and similarly appreciated that many BEE companies would typically have less experience or certainly less experience over time. And as such, the scores for experience and capacity were reduced whilst those for BEE were loaded. So that a small new entrant who wishes to service GEMS stands as good a chance as an established large enterprise with many clients. Our first set of tenders last year were actually implemented under the policy and we are happy with the manner in which the scoring was adjudicated. All our procurement processes were found to be fair and compliant to our policy. Our supply chain policy necessitates that any tender over R1 million is overseen and administered by auditors. There will be 2 audit firms. One ensures that your closure of the tender and then our assessment follows the policy. And the second one ensures that our oversight, renders oversight. The board will only adjudicate if they have the audit report saying what has taken place to get to a point where you as the board need to make a decision has been in line with your policies, free, fair, and objective. And all our tenders met that standard in 2011. We applied the chronic medicine DSP rule to antiretrovirals. I know this is a lot of medical scheme jargon. The scheme delivers chronic medicine via courier pharmacy. Antiretrovirals were not included in that, historically, because some of our members came from other medical schemes, and given the sensitivity of their treatment, we didn't want them to change their arrangements. So whatever they had coming into GEMS is what they could continue to do. Dispensing fees and medicine prices changed by a regulation last year, and we found in the first quarter that many members were complaining that when they get their antiretrovirals, they now have to make out-of-pocket payment arrangements. As such, we included the dispensing of antiretrovirals in our arrangement. By July, all of the members who were affected were using the service, and that matter has now been addressed. We introduced our own emergency medical dispatch service, where members call in when they need an ambulance, and then the dispatch will allocate an ambulance within a GEMS network. Historically, we used a capitation arrangement where you pay a per head fee per month. We found that this wasn't financially feasible and felt it would be value for money by doing it ourselves, by removing the profit center of an enterprise. The appeal board of the Medical Schemes Council ruled in our favor on a fraud case, the Umpemedzi matter. A pharmacy who investigated for fraud wanted essentially for us to pay them directly. We said as a scheme we won't do that until we are satisfied with the fraud results. The pharmacy appealed and the appeal board ruled in our favor. So we are very happy that our ability to stop payment to an enterprise we think is fraudulent is protected. Similarly, another pharmacy took us to court on the same matter. The judge ruled in our favor. The pharmacy then tried to appeal it, and that was dismissed. So both at the level of the court and at the Council for Medical Schemes, we are at the right, if we feel that a pharmacy is being provided as fraudulent, to stop payment directly to that pharmacy while we investigate. We held a symposium in the third quarter of last year in East London on NHI, which was very well attended, and we began to explore what our role and contribution could be in the implementation of NHI. We engaged Vietnamese public service officials and Zimbabwean medical scheme professionals who had come on an information sharing or a knowledge basis, just to find out how GEMS operates and how they can learn from it. We also, following the State of the Nation last year and the President's call for job creation, decided to make a contribution. So we introduced what is the Client Liaison Business Unit. It consists of 40 seats. I know 40 may not be a big number, but when you see it relative to our staff complement of 45, it certainly is a big percentage, where we hired 40 unemployed youths, and they act as our client interface. So where members currently fax, email, or post us things, they now have these youngsters who are in the department who they can talk to, and if they're lazy to fax it, the youngster will take it and bring it to the scheme for processing. We had thousands of CVs, literally one advert, and we had 13,000 CVs coming in the first 3 days. But the pilot was implemented. They have an office. They're doing their work. We have reviewed their progress because we need to decide how we will manage this unit now going forward. Does it become permanent? Do you expand it? But the board has agreed we will let it run for further 12 months just to see exactly how it's worked. In a summary of this, the successes, Chairperson, 95% of the 310 indicators in our strategic plan were met for 2011. And the five which were not met were worked on, but there are matters which just simply take longer than the calendar year. The year was not just one of successes. We had our own challenges. These are mapped out in our strategic plan. The ones which I think are important to note would be, as a young scheme, we've only been trading for 7 years. We need to get to the statutory requirement of 25% reserve level. The Medical Schemes Act allows a scheme to get there over 5 years from registration. But the fact that GEMS has grown by over 10,000% since inception means to accumulate funds whilst growing is almost impossible. So the Council for Medical Schemes has agreed that we can reach a 25% level in 2015. So we have a business plan, and it has annual targets, which the Council has approved. We have surpassed those targets in 2011, and it certainly seems like we will do so in 2012. But the scheme continues to grow, and this is a number we have to keep watching. In 2009, members of the committee will remember there was another medical scheme in the public service called MedCorp. It covered correctional services employees. once GEMS was implemented, a decision was taken in the bargaining council that basically GEMS would absorb the business of Medcor. That transaction took place at the end of 2009. 31st of December 2009, Medcor ceased to trade. Its members had to leave the scheme. The business was then wound down and the net assets were transferred to GEMS. There's a technical interpretation on the accounting standard of where you put the net assets. Do you show them on the income statement or not? But they definitely are reflected in the balance sheet. The Council for Medical Schemes believe you don't call it other income. We, on the basis of our auditor's recommendation, believe you do show it as other income because it's a bargain purchase. So we have an appeal running at the Council for Medical Schemes on this. It will sit in May. Full disclosure of this matter has been made to members at the AGM in 2011, as well as in our annual report. We have another appeal which has been running since 2009, where the registrar was not happy or not satisfied with our eligibility rule and wanted its scope widened to provide for public entities and local government. In the course of events, our rule was changed by the registrar, which the scheme then appealed. The appeal committee and the appeal board of the Council for Medical Scheme has ruled in the registrar's favor. The position of the scheme is that this matter needs to be considered. There is a board meeting on Friday. This is very current information, just to determine what the scheme's position is. I will say, and this is with the chairperson's knowledge, that our position is that GEMS should cover who the public service determines by way of its policy, it should cover at a point in time. We shouldn't embark on covering groups or parts of the state where the public service has not yet determined that they see it as one. An example would be members of this committee know about the work on the single public service. I don't think you'd appreciate it if we went ahead and started covering local government employees before that whole process is undertaken. We do think you need to be aware of it. And we've shared this information with the ministry and the department. Members at our AGM last year raised the matter of equity representation on the board. Because six of the trustees are elected by members, freely and fairly as the chair articulated, there is still a need for us to consider how we can ensure that equity, the same standard we apply to employees and service providers, is carried through to the level of the board. The Medical Schemes Act, however, does not currently permit you to predetermine allocations on the board. So we have inquired with the Minister of Health and the Minister of Public Service to get some guidance on how we can deal with this so we can go back to our members and give feedback. The matter of the antiretrovirals I discussed earlier, Chairperson. In summary, if we look at 2011, the success of GEMS in that year is related to its strength of its governance and management structures, as well as to the rigorous strategic planning the scheme takes every year in the fourth quarter. These trades have ensured that GEMS has established a track record of successfully implementing its annual strategic plans and fulfilling the objectives contained therein. The third part of the presentation is just to speak briefly about our strategic plan for 2012. I think the context in which we operate in this year, one, we are cognizant of the economic climate. We do follow what is happening at the level of our national economy, global economy, and then also in practical terms, what is happening in the lives of public service employees and their discretionary income. We need to be cognizant of the affordability constraints public service employees will have. We're keeping abreast of changes in the regulatory environment. There are those specific to the medical scheme industry which relate to savings accounts, governance, and pricing of services, but there are more broader regulatory changes like the Consumer Protection Act and its impact on medical schemes, which we also need to be cognizant of. We're monitoring the implementation of NHI. We've engaged the Department of Health on possible roles GEMS can play or contribute toward. We're nurturing multifaceted healthcare provider relations. This is very important. We look after the healthcare of our members, but that healthcare is delivered by healthcare service providers. On one hand, those providers are interested in what the scheme pays, but on the other hand, we and those providers are interested in keeping those employees healthy. But one has to balance the two. We're responding to developments in the public service, specifically related to subsidy changes, and then, of course, the matter of equity and union representation on the Board of Trustees. We're maintaining sound governance and ethical arrangements and an environment.
There are large tenders which will be issued this year. Last year we did the administration tenders, their term had come to an end. And this year we need to do the health related tenders, managed care services, HIV disease management, chronic medicine arrangements and so forth. We're optimizing our operational environment. We know that the scheme is much bigger than it was a year ago, so the activity is just greater in size and volume. We are focused on reducing the number of uncovered employees. With 641,000 members on GEMS, the focus now is not to grow for growing sake. The focus is to ensure that those employees who still remain in the public service and don't have a medical scheme and don't use that subsidy are enrolled on GEMS. That's really where our focus should be. Sustaining member services, managing their health risk profile, and optimizing managed care services are our focus for 2012. Our vision, mission, and value statements are similar to what they've been before. The vision is the mandate given to us. The mission is the mandate given to us by Cabinet, as the Chair articulated. The vision is to be an excellent, sustainable, and effective medical scheme for all public service employees. And our values, the central value would be excellence, and it is followed by the remaining nine values, which we have had in place for a number of years. Our strategic plan follows the format, so there are seven strategic objectives. Each one has key performance areas, and then there are specific output-based indicators. The theme, though, on how we give effect to that strategic plan is preserving the newly defined measure of excellence. That is our approach to our work in 2012. It centers on four key elements: complying with regulation, medical scheme and not medical scheme, preserving the reputation of GEMS, specifically around appeals, procurement, service levels, and the chronic medicine arrangement. Sustaining the medical scheme. It's not good enough to say we made a surplus in 2011. We need to be in a position where we can say the scheme will continue to sustain itself in 2020 and 2025. And then fulfilling the mandate, specifically on covering the uncovered employees. I think, Chairperson, members of the committee, the last leg then is just to give you an update on 2012, because we are in the fifth month of this year. This chart is one we keep referring to. The blue line shows you our membership growth since inception. The red line shows you the number of complaints we receive relative to membership. The blue line will show you that we have more than 640,000 principal members. And the red line shows you that the complaints relative to membership is 0.1%. Typically, the complaints would follow a seasonal pattern. The first quarter of a year is usually not a happy one for members, because you need a lot of documents resubmitted. You need to validate eligibility, especially those students who are over 21 and still need to pay child rates. There's documents you need from the members. So we do see a spike, and it's consistent with the prior experience, which we believe will settle in the first quarter. What's important when you look at the two lines is really, in the face of growth, dissatisfaction is relatively contained. We have 631,000 members at the end of April. As you know, the scheme keeps growing, so that number is actually bigger now. 1.7 million beneficiaries, 53% of eligible members or eligible employees on GEMS, 54%. So this has increased quite significantly from 51% in 2011. Of employees who didn't use the subsidy before on GEMS, our average age, family size, and pensioner ratio follows a similar trend, except the pensioner ratio in the month of April, which has increased from 8% to 10%. This is specifically related to the 16,000 Medi-Health pensioners who joined GEMS on the 1st of April this year, when the Treasury and the DPSA changed their subsidy. 290,000 calls were answered, 27,000 emails, 14,000 applications were processed. We settled 6.4 million claim lines in the month of April, collected 1.7 billion rand in contribution income, and our income this year will exceed 20 billion rand. What we're working on will be closing the migration of these pensioners I've just mentioned. Most of them have joined, 15,000 have joined in fact, but we're trying to find where the remaining 1,000 is. The average age of these pensioners is 81, so we do have concerns about where they are, just to make sure that they are on a medical scheme. It's okay if they are not necessarily on GEMS, but we want to know that they are in a place they are they've consented to be. We're obtaining guidance from the ministers on board representation and equity, managing operational delivery, finalizing the design of our healthcare arrangements for 2013, encouraging our staff and optimizing corporate services. It's been a busy 12 months. We are engaging the National Treasury on the cessation of backdated contribution collection. Basically, in the public service, you often can get told employee X has resigned, but you are told in May that he resigned in February. So February, March, and April, contributions were paid, and this person continued to claim as a member. But in May, we discovered that he's no longer eligible to be a member from February, which basically generates a debt, which is money we need to recover, and it's not always easy. So even though we look after one public service, we do carry quite a substantial amount of about 30 million rand in doubtful debt as a consequence of this. We're monitoring and supporting subsidy changes. We're developing the specifications of an international benefit, and we are exploring new efficiency gains in respect of healthcare expenditure. This is an exciting activity which the scheme has just started. Our non-healthcare costs are 6%. That's all our operational expenditure other than claims. It's half what the industry average is. It's almost a third of what the average is for some medical schemes. So our non-healthcare costs, our administration arrangements, our head office are efficient. But 94% of our expenditure goes on claims. Now this is a section where we want to begin to intervene, because efficiency gains will yield a big saving. An example would be participating in the supply chain of the delivery and supply, manufacture and wholesale of medicine, as well as equipment and devices used in hospitals. If we start intervening, there's a substantial amount of money that can be saved, which will be transferred back to members. In conclusion, Chairperson, members of the committee, the business of GEMS is on a solid footing. Board decisions have and are being implemented. Controls are well maintained, as is evident by the various audits. Operational services are being delivered. Risks are continuously assessed and mitigated. Our finances are in a better position than budgeted and approved by the Council for Medical Schemes. The strategic plan, the mission, the vision and the values remain central to all the work that we do as officers of the scheme. At the end of 2011, the Council for Medical Schemes performed a routine Section 44 inspection. It's a power given to the registrar to go in and inspect all the documents and operations of a medical scheme. The outcome of that inspection, and I quote, is that no serious issues were identified during the said inspection. Overall, the scheme must be commended for their achievements regarding proper governance principles. It is proposed, therefore, that the Portfolio Committee on Public Service and Administration note this update on GEMS and its performance. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Watson, is there anything that you need to say to that person? Take the question. Okay, by the end of the presentation, in conclusion, we're told that the business of GEMS is on solid footing. I would like to hear from members if are they convinced on that. Any issues on this matter? That's Honorable Detroit, Honorable Murray, in that order.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, I think I agree with your statement that you're on a good footing. You must be a very happy person to come here and give us this report, because it's usually we have a sharp look at people. But I think I'm satisfied. I'm very quick with the balance sheets. I just wanted two questions there, but I'm happy with what I see. There's just one thing on, before I get to the balance sheet, that's where you say that you have 84% of the members satisfied with GEMS. It's significant that when you reached a certain number of viability, your complaints quickly dropped to the level where it is now going up and down, it's normal. I think that's we can shut the gate on that one. I'm just wondering that if you have the 16% of the members that are not satisfied, or do they say or are they asked why not, so that you can react. I suppose you do. Okay, so just give us an answer on that. And then on your financials, I've got a lot of tick marks here, so I'm happy with a lot of it. I've got a few questions which doesn't really concern me, but just want for clarity. Is I see that your savings plan liability has increased, which is a good thing. I suppose you're happy with that, from 106 to 147 million. It means that people are saving their money, so that's a good liability increase. I see that your trade and other payables has increased quite a lot from 504 to 593. I suppose that's also because you have an increase, or maybe it's just a cycle where it cuts off. You know, that's also on debtors and stuff. And your outstanding claims provision is up, which I think it's possibly, you can give me some comment on it, but I think that's a good thing. And your lease escalation is down, the reserve. I'm just wondering if that is because you've negotiated better leases and you don't need to do it. I don't have a clear indication of that. And then on the next page, I see that your net cash inflow from investing activities is down from 168 to 76 million. Now, it could be the interest rate. It could be because you've used some of the cash flow for something else. I don't know. I don't think so. Can you just explain to us that? It's not a big concern, but it just would be interesting to see how you reason around those. And then the last question I have is where you say that you can engage Vietnamese officials and Zimbabwean officials. It would just be interesting to know what this engagement is, because it's just strange. Okay, thanks. That's all.
Thanks, Honourable Member.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you for the presentation. You have mentioned that you took over the business of MedCorp, which is in the correctional service. Now, there was also the other medical scheme for state employees. Was it MedScheme? I know at one stage there was this whole for MediHelp, or I can't remember, but there was another medical scheme, because at one stage you started with the advertisements and say you want people to come over. What happened to that? Is that medical scheme still ongoing? And how do your benefits compare to that medical scheme? Because, I mean, I remember the encouragement of people to come over, so obviously it wasn't obligatory. And you've tried to draw people over, so you can just respond to that. Then, in your opinion, the National Health Insurance Scheme that is currently, you know, being piloted and on the strategic plans for the future, how do you see, how will that impact on GEMS going forward? Because obviously the National Health Insurance Scheme works differently from the current provisions for medical care. Thank you very much.
Was there another hand, honourable members? Respond. Okay, sorry, there's a hand at the back. Honourable Mohani.
Thank you, Chairperson. My question would be around these walk-in centers. Where are they based? Because I think you've got members of your scheme which are based in the rural areas, are working in the rural clinics, rural offices. And there are, you've got also members who can, there are those who cannot read and write. Can they go into a walk-in center, talk to a person besides phoning? Because it might mean a lot of money when they have to call you. The other question would be around the issue of assistive devices. For example, when somebody has to get a wheelchair, because with some schemes they'll say, we only give you a wheelchair after 5 years. How long does it take, like James, to say if this person is permanently on a wheelchair or using crutches or calipers, how long do they have to change their assistive devices? Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Yeah,
respond. Thanks, Chairperson. I think if we start with the survey question, the 84% are satisfied, the 16% are not all dissatisfied. We certainly can, following the meeting, just email a summary of the report.
Okay, maybe it's just nice. Is it coming from above there? Can you request those that are at the top to allow us to proceed with the meeting?
Thanks, Chair. Of that 16%, about half of it would be people who are still, they feel relatively good. And then about 3 or 4% would be people who are unhappy. And then the reasons for that dissatisfaction regardless of how prevalent it was, have been captured. It is contradictory, so there are some members who will say what dissatisfies them the most is that gems is expensive. Yet our biggest positive is that members say that what dissatisfies them the most is that gems is inexpensive. So one does have to see it in the context. Again, the survey is something you have to do over time. You really can't base your view on one survey. It's useful, but you have to see how it changes. And in terms of the financials, I will say I'm a medical doctor, so maybe my accounting is not so odd. But the savings plan liability is related not to members saving, but rather to one of the benefit options has a savings option to which 25% of their contributions is allocated to savings. It's not our money. It's always deemed the members' money. It's trust funds, in fact. So that liability is based on how that option has grown, shrunk, and how the members have claimed, which would be the movement. In terms of the outstanding claims, that has increased. It's a provision you make with actuarial projections based on the number of members, or the size of the scheme, the extent to which they claimed, and then what would be equivalent for that particular point in time. So the provision will increase as claim values increase, claim volumes increase, which I think is good. Our view is that you have a conservative provision. You never want to under-provide and then go back and restate your numbers saying, actually, guys, we were trying to be too aggressive with our profit. So rather, let's just add it to the balance sheet. And in the subsequent year, you can say, well, in fact, we found our provision to be excessive. In terms of the lease, we do have a lease agreement in place. It would be for our head office. It's less than 1,000 square meters. And then we now have the secondary lease for the CLO unit. It's an office also in Pretoria, but that is a prepaid arrangement where we just basically pay for 12 months because it's private. So the escalation, I think, is related to the terms of that contract as well as in this period. In terms of the interest income, we keep most of our money in cash. It's in call accounts, fixed deposits. I think in 2011, our longest investment was 6 months for a fraction of our money because In a month, 1.7 billion would come in, and you pay almost 1.5, 1.4 billion rand. So the money essentially keeps moving in and out. And as such, you don't have the most attractive yields. You aren't going to see returns like with the pension fund. And it's member money, so you don't want to be aggressive with what you do. You certainly can't see the capital affected. So we basically run it almost at call account level in terms of the yield, and that's affected by interest rates. The Vietnamese was part of a delegation by the Department of International Relations and Cooperation. DPSA then had the delegation to talk about public service, conditions of service, employee benefits. And on the employee benefit day, we then hosted them and we gave them a walkthrough to show them the call center, show them the claim system, give them a sense of what happens in terms of how you administer the arrangement. And for the Zimbabweans, it really was a sit-down session where we shared ideas. Zimbabwe has a medical scheme. It has a medical scheme environment. It's not as sophisticated as ours in South Africa. but they wanted to see how, for the public service, you could leverage economies of scale and put in place something that works. In terms of the other medical schemes, I think I just need to know which one you're talking about. This year. Is it in this year?
No.
Okay. When we started, the historic schemes would be the ones which were racially based. So there was MediHelp for white public servants, Qualitas for black public servants, Sanitas for Indians, ProSano for colored. So that would be the historic equivalent of a GEMS. We didn't target any medical scheme. We appreciated, as you rightfully pointed out, that it wasn't obligatory to join GEMS. So we had to couch the benefit in a manner which is attractive to members, fulfills a need, and is affordable. And that's really what we have done consistently. Targeting a medical scheme wouldn't help if half of the public service wasn't using the subsidy anyway. So we have had to implement a holistic strategy, and I think our approach has been to just simply say, this is what we offer, is value for money. And with time, public service employees have bought into it. In fact, in the Western Cape, almost 75%, it's actually almost 80% of public service employees are on GEMS. So if you go into a tea room, you're looking at almost everybody you see with your GEMS member. In terms of benefits, we do offer comprehensive benefits. We assess this annually to make sure that we are not shortchanging members. Also to ensure that we don't offer too much. There's a financial implication when you are generous with the benefits. Our contributions are still about 15% cheaper than a comparable scheme in the marketplace. We are not the most lavish, nor are we the most basic medical scheme, but for standard, what a member needs, the benefits are comparable. In terms of NHI pilots and the impact on GEMS, I think really the green paper doesn't present much in terms of the role for medical schemes in GEMS, but we appreciate that we are a scheme created by government for its employees. So we've engaged the Department of Health and offered some services which are similar. So in our environment, you will use data capturing, case management, clinical risk assessments, the fraud lessons and the fraud investigation and sanctions we implemented, as well as actually delivering healthcare services, like employing these community liaisons. In the NHI environment, it would be community healthcare workers. So we have put a number of these options down, and we think there's a role to play. Importantly, we need to see that the NHI, in its design and from what you see in the green paper, is considerably larger and wider in scope than what the medical scheme does. So we appreciate that we would like to participate. And that really is what we want to do. And we will follow the lead of what the Department of Health would like us to do. In terms of walk-in centers, there are two in each province. What we did, if I take a step back, we can't be everywhere a public service employee needs. There are over 29,000 schools in the country. There are border posts on the circumference of our country. And then there are big centers like Cape Town, Joburg, Pretoria, where there are many employees. But indeed, employees are scattered throughout the country. So access would be a problem if we used physical access. So our biggest access point would be the call center, email and so forth. And then the walk-in centers, we've chosen those two towns where the largest number of public service employees are in that province. Initially we had one, now we have two. It's almost on an annual basis, if not biannually, where we assess whether we need to expand or not. But the truth is, physically it would be hard to be everywhere a public service employee would be. To help with the calls, appreciating that they cost money, we do have a Please Call Me facility. So a member can, especially for enrolling members, they can SMS this number and we'll call them back. And then finally, Chairperson, assistive devices, we have a monetary limit, not a time-based limit. So if a member has benefit available and they want to get one, they essentially can keep getting as long as the benefit is there. The wear and tear on these devices is not the same. There are some members who will keep a wheelchair or calipers or a crutch for 20 years, and then there are others who want to change them annually because they become more active or their work environment changes. So what we allocate would be the financial limitation. And we have seen some improvements. So if you look at the level of wheelchairs, you now actually can see members almost getting a very cheap or inexpensive electric wheelchair if the need is there. But Chairperson, those would be the responses. I'm not sure if that's
something on the member satisfaction survey that the honourable member asked. On the 12% of members who are satisfied, it's something that the board takes very seriously, the satisfaction of members. So there are other reports that relate to this. We get a quarterly complaints report, so we get to know what is it that the members are not satisfied about and how the complaints are being addressed, and whether they are addressed to their conclusion, to the point where the members are satisfied. So there are other mechanisms that we try and find out what makes the 12% of members who say they are not satisfied, and now we address that. Thanks.
Are there further issues that you want to interrogate?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I once heard the Minister of Health praising GEMS as the one scheme that is affordable and that is managed. In fact, more than any other medical scheme that exists. By then, I thought that where does the minister get this? Now, immediately when you were running through the presentation, when you mentioned the survey, I then said this confirms what the minister said. So I just want to say, I think let the board continue to do the good work that they are doing, together with all those that are working with the scheme. At least it will make even other medical schemes to follow the approach that you have. Thank you.
Yeah, while we continue, there are other areas that we're actually still engaged in terms of the current development, you know, in the medical, in the health sector, largely, you know, there are developments around the NHR and so on. I'm sure we have some interest, possibly to be of some questions, but a collaborative approach. But we will sort of look into that. We appreciate the information that you've given to us today in details. Safe to say we've been interacting through information as well. And we will continue to do that. You know, within the five priorities, there is health. And actually, if we're actually doing that area quite well, wherever we're given responsibilities, that is a good thing. At this point in time, we are quite satisfied with what we actually wanted to find out from yourself. But we're moving forward, it will be quite a huge matter of the entire health program or project of the country that includes the NHI. But thank you for the information at this point in time, Mr. Watson, Mr. Alfonso, thanks so much. Before we adjourn the meeting, honorable members, we just thought it's important for us to just have a reflection of what we'll be doing, particularly in the next week. I know that the programs have been distributed. We distributed the programs because there's an amendment that we wanted members to be aware of. And possibly there might be a further amendment depending on our discussion with the Public Service Commission. Okay, no. There's one area that we will meet with. The meeting is not finished, actually. We have the DG for Public Service and Administration, PPA, who have been part of this presentation, who at the end has to do sum up in terms of the issues that we discussed. As soon as the DG has done that, we can then proceed to look at the program, particularly for the next week. Just marking the time, because today we have to be out of the venue at 12:30. Because there's an EPC that will be sitting so that they prepare for it. But I think we're well on time at this point in time. Can I allow the DG to proceed? Let it go.
Honorable Chair. Thank you, honorable members. There isn't a lot to add. I think in terms of the first presentation on the GPF, of interest to us obviously is the because the separation that has happened between the fund and the administration through the establishment of the GPA, which is the unit that was presenting here today, was exactly to ensure that fund decisions around investment and so on have a separate focus, whilst the operational activities of timely payments and efficient payment processes can be the focus of the unit itself, which is a government component residing under National Treasury. It is of interest to us to ensure that it does address the concerns that members have raised here, because that's exactly why the separation took place, to make sure that there will be that kind of efficient processing of the applications. I think to the extent that there are areas that require our intervention, such as in those instances where they indicated that departments do not cooperate to provide exit documents on time, that's a matter that we will have to ensure that we take up with the fund. We're aware that in the past they had a campaign called Operation Gokota, where they were going to departments themselves individually to facilitate the speedy submission of the exit documents. But that's an area where we'll have to work with them to ensure that the employer does not become the reason why the submission of documents is late. On the side of GEMS, in terms of the presentation, the area that relates to equity representation in the board, the GEMS has already approached the Minister for Public Service and Administration, and it's a matter that we'll have to revert to GEMS on, so that they can be advised from the Minister from the Ministry on that side of issues. But we are aware also that in terms of the five priorities that the Minister had identified, the issue of increasing participation in GEMS is one of the priorities that has been flagged, because there's a very strong interest in ensuring that as many public servants take advantage of the coverage that the medical scheme provides. And of course, finally, the issue of the National Health Insurance as a critical program of government that we will have to support ourselves, both as a department, but also through our participation in the governance arrangement of the scheme as well. But those are just the issues that I need to flag. We quite pleased ourselves with the way the scheme is being run, and as indicated in the budget vote speech, the acting minister referred to some of these achievements as a feather in the cap of the medical scheme itself. Thank you.
Thank you very much, DG. Yeah, that sums up the presentation that we gave largely on for GEMS. Can we then look into the programs, honorable members, as they indicated? No, you can't. We were just about to all leave. Maybe the program next week still requires you, so before you get the invitation, you'll be knowing. Okay. All right. At this point in time, members, you remember we could not hold our meeting last week due to the death of our minister, Honorable Roy Parech. So the meeting that was set for the 2nd of May, for the 9th of May, had been shifted to... What is that date, Stephen? To the 23rd, yes. We've just shifted that meeting to the 23rd of May. So in other words, if you look at the 23rd on the program, we have that meeting. We have actually deferred the Auditor General's presentation because we want an updated presentation. They're still busy with the audit reports and so on, and still worked. So it's still work in progress. We don't want, half-cooked information. We would just take that information on the next term of our work. So at this point in time, then it provided a space for us to then take that meeting. And therefore, I just wanted to indicate we haven't lost much honorable members, even though we didn't sit for the meeting. And for very valid reason, and we still have that item coming back on the 23rd of May. But also, if members look at the meeting of the 30th of May, we might sort of look at amending item number 2, which talks about the briefing by the Public Service Commission on key performance areas that needs urgent attention from phase of the executive. We might collapse it together with what comes on the 23rd. But we are still considering that, and we'll be discussing with the Public Service Commission, and we will be able to then give members an update if they have any further changes. But at this point in time, that's what is going to happen. When we just know that next week is the meeting that I'm talking about, which we couldn't sort of sit for, will be allocated where it will be briefed by the Public Service Commission. On the consultative report of the appointment and management of heads of department in the public service. You'll remember that we were dealing with this matter because there was a meeting that was talking about the suspensions, the loss of cases, and so on. But as you have noted that, the loss of cases was not as was projected in terms of that last week's report. Because once we work on facts, then many issues become much clearer. There was no much as projected. Most of the time people believe that the state loses all the cases, but the report proved otherwise, that so many cases, so many, it encourages that not all is lost. And therefore, part of it is that interrogation and part of the issues that we've identified, including what we believe that some of the issues coming from the National Planning National Development Plan, which we are discussing, and what we aspire for as a public service seminar, where we look to be the head of public service, etc., etc. So all of it is part of it. Yeah, at this point in time, with this update, can we then agree that we are adjourning the meeting? And thank you very much, honorable members, ladies and gentlemen.
That was far.